And the 2014 FIFA World Cup gets underway this day week. RTE's coverage was launched here in Montrose earlier. 56 games will be broadcast live on television. The remaining 8, which clash on the final day of each of the groups, will be available to view online or on the RTE Player app. Regular news and analysis across radio, including full coverage of the final on 2FM. RTE.ie/sport will be the one-stop online guide to this year's tournament. Bill O'Herlihy, in what is his final tournament with RTE, will anchor the coverage in tandem with Darren Maloney, Ray Houghton, Brian Kerr, Jim Breglin and Trevor Stephen will be on co-commentary duty for the game. Regulars in the shape of Giles, Dunphy, Brady, Whelan, Cunningham and Sadler will all offer analysis. And we've a couple of returning friends in the form of Ozzie Ardiles and Didi Haman. And new signings as well. Former Celtic manager Neil Lennon, the assistant manager of Real Madrid, Paul Clement, and our next guest on the programme this evening, the Spurs and United States goalkeeper, Brad Friedel. Brad, good evening to you.
Good evening, how are you?
I'm not too bad. First and foremost, welcome to RTE Sport. We're delighted to have you on board.
Yeah, it's delighted to be on board. I think it's going to be great fun and I'm really looking forward to my time in Dublin.
When you reflect upon your career, to have been a part of a squad that went to 3 World Cups, does that eclipse mm-hmm. anything else you will ever do?
Yeah, and I think playing for your country is the pinnacle. Especially when you can have a run like we did in the 2002 World Cup and made it to the quarterfinals, arguably the better side against Germany on the day. And the whole process from the start of qualifying that campaign to the end was just a special moment, I think, in every U.S. player's career that was involved.
When you're speaking to people back home about this year's World Cup, what's the sense of anticipation like? Because obviously, since that appearance, the MLS has grown, the quality of player available to senior national management has improved vastly. Has expectation grown in tandem?
Oh, yeah. The expectation is getting bigger and bigger. We have a tough group, as you probably know, if you see on paper, with Germany, Ghana, and Portugal. The thing is that a lot of the fans in the U.S. will expect us, just being American supporters, to get out of the group. Easier thought of and said than done. But one thing that is for sure is that we'll be competitive in every game. I don't think it's a doom or gloom group. I think it's fantastic going into at least 2 of the games as underdogs, as I think it's easier to play as underdogs in some of these events. And we'll give it a good go. If we don't get to get out of the group, I'm sure it's not going to be for lack of effort or lack of trying, and I hope we get there.
But if that's to be the case, has Jurgen Klinsmann built a rod for his own back with the omission of Landon Donovan in advance of the tournament?
Well, it was a surprise omission, that's for sure. You know, I think most people think that Landon is definitely one of the best 23 players in the U.S. You know, nobody knows the exact reasons except for Jurgen himself. You know, I don't think if we don't get out of the group, I don't think it's going to specifically be down to that. However, like you just said, I think the perception to a lot of the average American supporter will be just that. So if we don't get out, I'm sure he's put a little bit of pressure on himself by doing that. But, you know, that's why managers are paid the big bucks, and that's what they're there to do, is make decisions. And I hope you made the right decision for the sake of the U.S.
When you look at it in purely footballing terms, Donovan broke the record for MLS goals the weekend just gone. Can it be justified on footballing terms, his omission, in any way in your mind?
Again, I haven't been in the camps directly, so I don't know what attitude and training methods have been like. I know Landon from my time playing with him, even if something negative happened, he wasn't the type of person to bring the squad down. He's more of a quiet person and to himself. It's just one of those. It's one of those issues. I'm afraid it's not going to go away until the U.S. either gets through or doesn't. If they don't get through the group, then it's going to be big, big news. If they do get through the group, then people are going to praise Klinsmann for it.
Who are the players then, in your mind, from a U.S. perspective, who really need to stand up and could be the ones to drive a successful World Cup campaign?
Well, I think the spine of the team. I think we've got a very good goalkeeper in Tim Howard. And even if Tim Howard gets injured or something happens to him, we've got another good one in Brad Guzan. I think our engine room, Michael Bradley, he's going to be pivotal to our success. He's an outstanding player, and his work rate is second to none. Clint Dempsey's going to have to come up big. Josie Altidore's going to have to come up big right up through the spine of that team. Where we probably have some uncertainty or some weakness, if you want, is probably at the uncertainty of the centre-half position. Looks likely that Jeff Cameron, who's been playing at right back at Stoke all year, is going to come in and play right side centre half along Beasler, who plays at Kansas City. That will pave the way for whatever pairing that he's going to put as a left back and right back. I think that's still a little bit of an unknown, as well, whether he plays Beasley, whether he plays Chandler, whether he plays both. So the uncertainty of our team is probably going to be the center half position, which isn't great going up against the Germany and Portugal. I'm not saying that the players can't do a good job, because they absolutely can. It's just that that's where a lot of rotation and a lot of changing has occurred. So whoever does play at that center half position is going to be is going to have to be on their toes, because especially in the two games playing the world's best player. One of the world's best players and one of the world's best teams in Germany, they're going to have to be on top form.
When you look at the squad now and the opportunities that present themselves to young American footballers or guys who've been introduced to the game, and the MLS now has an international profile and so many players have made successes for themselves around the globe, you must be somewhat envious that you can't roll the years back all over again and maybe have a slightly easier route to the career that you had, because I'm sure it was a pretty significant struggle to make, you know, a career in Europe for yourself.
Yes, it was, and it took me 5 years to get a work permit. When I was growing up, there wasn't a professional league in the States of note. There were some semi-pro leagues that popped up and then folded here and there, but we didn't have any anything structured like the MLS today. There's currently 19 teams, I believe. Atlanta's getting a team, Orlando's getting a team, and the Manchester City, New York are getting a team. It's just growing and growing. I think the signing of David Villa has taken another step in the right direction. There's a talk of Frank Lampard, maybe, which is, again, another step in the right direction. And it's just, you know, whether I'm envious, you know, I can't really complain on the career I've had. However, I'm proud of what all the owners and the players and the fans have done in the U.S. up to now. And it's now up to us to keep growing it and keep the quality getting better and better year in and year out.
How did you fall in love with the game?
I tell you, even when I was growing up, it was one of the more largely participated sports in the U.S., but probably up to kids under the age of 16. And then because there was no structure past the youth setups and college environment, most of us stopped playing. I was just one of the lucky ones that kept getting chosen for certain camps. Very lucky that I got seen by a gentleman named Dean Wurzburg, got a college scholarship to UCLA, was Ziggy Schmidt as the head coach. And from there, he made a call to the Olympic coach at the under-23 level. And I got seen in the 1992 Olympics. So my path had a lot to do with luck, because there really wasn't or there really weren't all these opportunities that the players have today.
Now, I was told earlier on, and I'd never heard the story before, did you have a brief spell with St. Patrick's Athletic in Dublin where you came here to train in advance of trying to get a work permit?
Well, I wouldn't call it a spell. It was some nice people allowed me to go over there while I was waiting for a work permit to Sunderland, I believe it was, if memory serves me correct. And I trained probably for about a week there while I was awaiting news of my work permit. I can't remember if I was waiting for a permit to Newcastle or Sunderland at the time. There were so many attempts, but yes, I definitely did go, and I believe it was Pat Dolan.
Yeah, spot on.
There we go. He was the one that took care of me when I was on land in Dublin.
Well, I can guarantee you, our league matches take place on Friday evenings here. So if you're in Dublin on a Friday evening during the World Cup, they'll only be too happy to have you back in Inchicore. The story was relayed to me by a colleague of ours was speaking to Brian Kerr, the former Republic of Ireland manager, who suggested that they had to get rid of you because even in training, lads couldn't score goals past you, that you were simply too good to even train with.
I don't know about that. I do know that everyone was very friendly and accommodating while I was there. and I really enjoyed my week that I was there. But I wouldn't call it a spell. It was more of a stop off and keeping fit.
It was a long weekend. Before I get your opinions just on the World Cup overall, I know you're in the midst of doing your coaching badges, but the competitive flame still burn quite strong. You'll forgive me for reminding you that you're 43 years of age. You're still capable of playing at the highest level and still keen to do so, I'd imagine.
Yes, absolutely. I've been fortunate enough to stay clear of serious injury, and I've also always had this burning desire to keep myself fit and keep trying to improve myself as a player. So, it's something that I want to keep doing until I just physically can't do. You know, most of my good friends in the game are long since retired, and they all tell me the same thing. You know, whether you go into coaching or television or whatever it is, it's not the same as playing. So keep doing it, and that's what I intend to do.
And the likelihood you'll still be at Spurs next year, or can you go into that?
I can't really go into that right now, but an announcement will come very soon.
To look across the landscape then within the World Cup, who are the teams that you're most looking forward to watch, or who are the teams in your mind who realistically we should be looking at as solid contenders?
Well, realistically, it's solid contenders. I think with the way the weather and the travel are going to be, I think ball retention sides, especially some of the South American sides, are going to be formidable. I think it's going to take an awfully good performance and an awfully good team to beat Brazil in Brazil. So they're going to be one. I think Argentina is going to be another. I think on the European side of things, I think Spain, are going to be very, very strong. I'm interested to see how Belgium are going to do. I think they have a lot of talent through their squad. I'm also interested to see how the likes of a Switzerland would do, because there are not many people talking about them. Not that I think that they can go on and win it, but I do think that they may surprise a few people. Again, on the European side, France has quietly gone about their business quite well and had some good performances. Then you're going to have, maybe a surprise might be a Colombia. You know, I think they're quite a strong team and might cause one or two upsets. You know, so there's a lot of familiar names on there. Germany as well. I just think the elements might get to them towards the end. You never know.
The expectation, or certainly the hype in England, seems to be much lower than it has been in advance of previous tournaments. How do you assess their challenge?
Well, I think they're going to be far more exciting than they have in the past. They have some incredible pace going forward with Sturridge and with Sterling. I think they have one of the best passers in the world in Steven Gerrard. I think they have on top form one of the very good goalkeepers in the world. You know, so I think the lower expectations will help them, if you like. You know, in other World Cups, the press in the country were expecting them to win it. I don't sense that right now. So that might just help them. Mm-hmm. I personally tip them to get out of their group. I think Italy, if you've seen a couple of their results recently, I think maybe them or Uruguay are going to be the ones to miss out, but we'll just have to wait and see.
Final question before I let you go. So much of the build-up, or so much of the narrative around the World Cup, is focused on off-field issues, preparations, protests, all that sort of stuff. From a player's perspective, do you pay any attention to that at all in advance of a tournament like this, or is there just simply too much at stake on the field of play?
You know, if it knocks directly on your doorstep and upsets your family or your friends or yourself, physically or directly, maybe anything else, you don't really take notice to at all. You just focus on the work at hand. I've been lucky enough not to really, being in the United States, not really have to dealing with that. However, especially when I played at Galatasaray in Turkey, and I know it's not on the international level, but a club level, I certainly saw it up close. And unless it really knocks on your doorstep, you don't really pay too much attention.
Brad, great pleasure to chat to you. Thank you so much for your time this evening, and we look forward to seeing you in Dublin very soon.
My pleasure. I look forward to it as well.
Brilliant stuff. Brad Friedel joining us there. Delighted to welcome him to RTE on behalf of the sports department. He's part of our World Cup team. As mentioned, in case you're just joining us, Neil Lennon, the former Celtic manager, Paul Clement, the Real Madrid assistant manager, and Brad are our new names. Ozzy, Ardiles, Didi Haman return. Then the usuals, Giles, Dunphy, Brady, Whelan, Cunningham, Sadler, Houghton, Kerr, Beglin, Trevor, Stephen, all in there. Where else would you want to follow the World Cup? RTE.ie/sport for all the details. 56 games live on television, coverage across RTE's platforms of all 64 games, and the final to be broadcast here on RTE 2 FM.